Okay, back to where we left off yesterday. So we're basically discussing you need to have a clean kitchen. If you have a dirty kitchen, it's very questionable how kosher your home really is. And we learned all the various different things about the ovens with that stuff. Okay, next thing is like this. And I'm not getting into the whole bug issue. It's very buggy, so we'll leave it at that. If somebody asks, this is a very interesting din. You're not allowed to go rough shopping. In other words, the din in Shulchan Aruch is, once you ask a rav a question, and a rav says it's forbidden, for whatever reason, you don't like the answer, you're not allowed to go to another rav to ask him the question that maybe he'll be permitted. The only way you're allowed to do that is if you tell the second rabbi that you already asked the first rabbi and he said no, and then, you know, you come and ask the second person. If you want to, that I haven't seen yet.
Yeah.
That you ask a question, rabbi, a lenient, and then you go look for a stricter opinion? I did have this, by the way. Shivasa Betamuz. A lady, believe it or not. A lady from Australia called me right before Shivasa Betamuz. She said, I'm pregnant, do I have to fast? So I said, no, pregnant women, don't fast Shivasa Betamuz. So she starts arguing with me. She says, but I'm healthy. In other words, I could fast. I say, Shulchan Aruch says, you don't have to fast. You don't have to. Then I said, so why don't you ask the rabbis there in Australia? She said, no, because all of them say I'm not allowed to fast. So now I'm asking you. She wanted me to say, yeah, you have to fast. They said, no such luck, lady. They once asked the Rav why he was so lenient in the laws of Yom Kippur with allowing people to eat. He happened to be a very great Rav, but he was very lenient. He said, I'm not lenient in the laws of Yom Kippur. I'm very strict in the laws of guarding your health. So I'm not lenient in Yom Kippur. I'm just very strict in the... What did you say?
What's the reason
if
you tell the Rav that you asked already someone else?
The reads are very simple, because then the Rav, then you're not Rav shopping, because then the Rav, most of the time, by the way, will tell you you're not allowed to do it.
He'll agree with the other Rav.
Just in principle. Unless, if the first Rav is not such a competent Rav, and out of ignorance he said no, and then the other greater Rav said, yeah, then it would be different.
But I'm saying, what if they were both competent and they did give a different view?
But then if he hears what the first one said, he might agree with it and he might not agree with it. But I'm saying, even if he's not going to agree with it, rarely will the Rav say, no, you could do it.
Yeah, I'm saying for the person himself, why is he still Rav shopping, you know, in the sense that...
Yeah, but over here, at least he's telling the person what it is.
But,
where? Tisha B'Av.
Yeah.
No, we're talking Shivasa Betamuz, not Tisha B'Av.
And then they said she had, and then she passed it, and then she couldn't nurse anymore.
Okay, Tisha B'Av is a whole different story. Even then, okay. Next din over here in Kitzur is the din was called Stam Yenom, and kashering the utensils of Stam Yenom. Meaning like this: in the time of the Gemara talks about the Mishnah of Avodah Zarah. Talks about what's called Yayin Nesach. Yayin Nesach literally means wine which was poured for idol worshipping. The idol worshippers in the olden times would have wine libations. They would pour wine for their idols. That Yayin Nesach is biblically forbidden. Not only is it biblically forbidden, but you can't benefit from it in any way whatsoever. And many times, even if it's a question of saving a life with it, because one of the three cardinal sins that you have to give up your life for. So that's a very difficult thing by itself. Now, they have what's called Stam Yenom. And the Gemara talks about Stam Yenom. Stam Yenom is basically wine that was touched by a non-Jew, but he's not an idol worshiper. Okay? So Yayin Stam, the Chachamim, this is rabbinic, Chacham said it's forbidden to drink wine that a guy touched. We'll learn if it's an open bottle. The very details we'll get to in a minute. What's the reason for it? Because the Gemara says, Godol legima shimikareves. Drinking wine with somebody brings you closer. Chacham didn't want a Jew to assimilate with the goyim. So therefore, assimilating, by drinking wine, you're going to assimilate with the goyim. So Chacham said, Yayin Stam is usher to drink. Whether it's usher bahano or not, not only is it forbidden to drink, that's all opinions. Some opinions hold it's also forbidden to in benefit. The Alter Rebbe in Hilchos Shabbos does use the expression that Stam Yainam is usher bahano, it's forbidden to benefit from. What does it mean you can't benefit from it? It's a very practical din. If somebody gave you a non-kosher bottle of wine, somebody didn't know. A Jew brought, a guy brought you a non-kosher bottle of wine. So obviously you can't drink it yourself. It's not kosher wine. The question is, can I give it to a non-Jew as a gift? Can I give it to my housekeeper? Can I give it to a business associate who's not Jewish? Am I allowed to give it to him? And the halacha is you're not allowed to give it to him. Why? There's two reasons for this, by the way. One is because if you're not allowed to benefit from it, when you give a gift, you create a relationship. You build a relationship. And because you're building a relationship, that's considered benefit, and you can't have any benefit from it. There's also another reason why you wouldn't be allowed to do it, and this is a din, again, a lot of people are unaware of. The din is a Jew is not allowed to give to a non-Jew anything which is not kosher. You can't give a non-Jew food which is not kosher. Why? So it's a very simple reason in halacha. Because the guy will think that because I got it from a Jew, it must be kosher. And he'll give it to another Jew. So therefore, you're indirectly going to cause it. But that's the reason halacha gives. In fact, there's a very interesting question in a lot of the nursing homes today. And the, what do you call them? Nursing homes, old age homes, whatever.
Senior,
whatever you want to call it. Huh?
Senior housing or
congregate. Okay, whatever. Person that has nursing homes, let's say they have a, not a kosher nursing home, a non-Jewish nursing home. So now the question is, obviously, you don't want to feed your non-Jewish patients kosher, it's much more expensive, obviously. So, but din is, just saying the din as it is, now there's poskim that have leniencies with this, like everything else when it comes to money. But they, you're not allowed to serve non-kosher food. Why? A Jew is not allowed to do business with non-kosher food. In other words, things that are really not kosher, you're not allowed to have a business, if that's your main business. For instance, a Jew is not allowed to own a non-kosher meat packing place. A non-kosher slaughterhouse. He's not selling to Jews, he's selling to Goyim. But the Shonar, the Gemara says, you're not allowed to have a business that deals with totally non-kosher food. Things that are really not treif, like candies and things like that, you know, which are not, they might not be kosher, but they're not really treif, that you're allowed to have businesses with. But your Jew is not, in fact, it's a very interesting shaila, we learned about this in Pesach time. Can a Jew own stocks in McDonald's? Can a Jew own stock in Starbucks, which now sells non-kosher things? Can a Jew own stock in a non-kosher company? You have a lot of big non-kosher companies. So the question is a Jew allowed to own stock? Because if he owns stock, he's basically a partial owner to a certain extent, and therefore you're doing business with non-kosher food. So that already the Meshe Feinstein and a lot of others, other contemporary poskim write that owning stock in a company is only called ownership if you have a seat on the board and you have a say. If you don't have a seat on the board, then it's not, even though you own stocks in the corporation, you're not called owning the corporation. So halachically, a Jew would be allowed to have stock in McDonald's, let's say, even though it's not kosher, because you can't own enough stock that you sit on the board. Then you couldn't do that. Or have a tray for meat company or tray for lobster company. I mean, what?
What if you can vote for people on the board?
Yeah, but that's only if you own really a lot of stock. You're not going to...
No, there's like plus 8 here.
Yeah, but it's not considered... Halachically, only if you sit on the board, it's considered that you have a say in the company. If that's considered...
you give something to a goy, and you tell him it's not kosher, and that's...
Doesn't help. Halacha says you can't give it, you can't give it.
What are you supposed to do with the wine that is not kosher?
What you're allowed to do halachically is put it in your back by next to the garbage. You don't have to throw it in the garbage. Put it next to the garbage. I promise you in 10 minutes it won't be there anymore.
I tried.
It was probably open.
Was there,
open bottle or sealed bottle? No, they usually... See, if you don't know who took it, you don't know who took it. But...
It's a new bottle, you get back to the store.
Huh?
It's a new bottle, you can get it back.
No, then you're getting money. There's benefit. Hello? If a guy gave you a present to trade for a bottle of wine and you return it, you know, some people drink the wine, then they'll return it to Costco because they always take things back. You could tell him that you don't want to accept it because it's not kosher. Yeah. You could say you don't drink it.
Yeah. What happens if it's not touched? It's kosher.
No, we're talking... Okay, that's... Machashin is a mesma mecha beba mayin kim shvila gal teiro. Chanan mekashim edat gegoha gatsovich evelam. Shinamad in the hobbit to man. Sukkoy gagal teiro.